Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Every Sunday, my friends, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Yes, my friends, it's great to be with all of you. We start off this new week, which is also the third Sunday of the season of Lent. Very, very special season of Lent, holy season, which prepares us for the Holy Week and the Paschal Mystery, which is the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Christ. Great to be with all of you. So as always, we'd like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, we call out to Mary in that beautiful prayer, the Hail Holy Queen. We invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's ask Mary to be with us, to bless us with her prayers as we say. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, let's invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has various titles. He's known as the Paraclete. He's known as the Gift of Gifts. He's known as the sweet guest of the soul. He's also known as our sanctifier, as well as our consoler and counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. Saint Paul says in his letter to the Romans that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Father. Abba, which means Father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light and the fire of divine love as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that thou, by the same Spirit, we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. How true it is, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. A world at prayer is a world at peace. After praying with you, I'll be praying for you. And I'll pray for all of you in the greatest of all prayers, and that prayer is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It is the prayer par excellence, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to place all of you on the altar in this greatest of all prayers. And pray, first of all, that all of us would be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit today. Perhaps this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention will be, I'd like to pray for all of our families for the conversion, the sanctification, and the salvation of our family members. Our Lord says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? I'd like to pray, my friends, in a special way for all those who will be dying sometime today, that they would die in God's friendship. I have another special intention, is in my spiritual exercise program today. We'll enter into the sixth week, which is the very midpoint of the exercises. And we are preparing many people to make what is called their general confession. So I'd like to ask all of you to pray for those who will be making their general confession. As well as for the priests who will be hearing the general confession. So I'd like to ask that as a special prayer. Thank you. Okay, my friends, let's jump into the riches of the Word of God. T- Today we have the vocation of Moses in front of the burning bush. The responsorial psalm is taken from Psalm 103. And the antiphon is, "The Lord is kind and merciful." The Lord is kind and merciful. Let's pray that also we will also become, we'll be kind and merciful. The second reading is taken from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. And the theme is the life of the people with Moses in the desert was written down as a warning to us. So meditating upon the life of Moses and the Exodus experience, it's a warning to us. Then the Gospel is taken from St. Luke chapter 13, 1 to 9. We basically have the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of sacrifices, and then a tower which fell down, killing 18 people. And then Jesus gives us a parable about a fig tree planted in the orchard, and the fig tree does not bring forth fruit. The master is thinking, just cut it down, but the gardener says, well, let's give another year. We'll try to fertilize it so that it brings forth fruit. And if it doesn't bring forth fruit, cut it down. So those are the readings for today. A brief summary of them. So let's move into reading from the book of Exodus. I'd like to walk through this passage with you. There is the passage in the book of Exodus, which is basically, we call it the vocation of Moses. Vocation of Moses, or if you like, the calling of Moses. And it's a wonderful passage, and I'd like to just kind of summarize it and give you some ideas on it. We have, the context is this. Moses, just going to give you a summary of his life up to this point. And pray that we meditate upon the person of Moses in Exodus and derive a lot of fruit from it. The Israelites are basically slaves of the Egyptians for hundreds of years. And the Pharaoh makes a decree that the male boy should be thrown into the Nile River. So the mother Moses brings forth Moses and places him in a papyrus basket and floats him there in the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter sees the child, has compassion on him. Moses' older sister Miriam says, "Would you like me to get one of the Hebrews to nurse the child?" And the Pharaoh's daughter says, "Yes," and actually happens to be the mother of Moses. So what happens is the Pharaoh's daughter basically loves the little child and decides to adopt the child. And he's received into the Egyptian court. So he's brought up and raised in the high culture environment of the Egyptian royalty. But he's a Hebrew. So what happens one day is the following. Moses loves his people, the Hebrew people. And he sees an Egyptian beating up one of the Hebrews. Very spontaneously, impetuously, Moses looks around and he kills the Egyptian who's beating up on the Hebrew. Hides the body of this Egyptian in the sand. Not long after that, there are two Hebrews that are actually fighting. Moses intervenes and tries to separate them. And one of them says, "Oh, are you going to do the same thing to me that you did to the Egyptian?" So Moses was afraid because he recognized that this news has become public. And the Pharaoh will hear about this, which he did hear. So Pharaoh plans on killing Moses for having killed one of the Egyptians. So as a result of this, Moses, he flees from Pharaoh. And he arrives at a place where there are women that are feeding their flocks. Moses helps out, and then the women bring Moses to the father, and father gives one of his daughters, Zipporah, as the wife to Moses. So Moses and his wife, she bears him two sons. And Moses is dedicating his work to tending sheep. He's a shepherd, like David. Very often you have the image of the shepherd. So that's what I've just done. I've brought you up to speed to see the whole context of Moses. So in a very short time, I've kind of summarized a few chapters of the Moses epic, the Moses stories. So the reading for today is taken from Exodus chapter 3, 1 to 8, and then 13 to 15. So you have about 10 verses which the church offers us on Moses. So I'd like to kind of go through this and give you an interpretation and an application for our own life. So Moses is tending the sheep of his father-in-law, whose name is Jethro. And he's actually at the foot of the mountain. The foot of the mountain. As he's tending the sheep, Moses lifts his eyes and he contemplates something that is extraordinary. What is this? Moses sees a bush. A bush that's planted on the mountain, at the foot of the mountain. That's right. But there's something extraordinary about this bush. What is that? It's the bush is on fire. And obviously, a bush, a tree, or leaves, or paper that's on fire will be consumed. But that is not the case with this burning bush. With this burning bush, it's on fire, but it's not consumed. So Moses draws close to see this spectacle. And he draws closer and closer. Moses hears loud and clear from the bush a voice that comes from the bush. In which the voice from the bush is really God speaking from the bush. Calls out to Moses and tells Moses, not to come closer, but to take off his sandals. Why? Because Moses is walking on holy ground. Moses hears. He listens, he heeds and obeys the word of God himself that's speaking from nature, from the burning bush. And Moses takes off his sandals in reverence and obedience to God communicating through the burning bush. God speaks to Moses. And he's going to give to Moses a mission. The mission of Moses is very sublime and of great importance. God is going to tell Moses basically to free the Israelites from the slavery of the Egyptians. They've been there for hundreds of years. God has heard the cry of the poor. And God has decided he will use Moses as the means by which these people will be brought to freedom. It's interesting how God works, because Moses is a Hebrew, born of a Hebrew mother and father. However, because of circumstances, and we'll call this divine providence, that God has allowed Moses to be taken, adopted into the Egyptian household because of the daughter of Pharaoh, and brought up and raised in their culture, also knowing their language. Now Moses engaged in this conversation, speaking to the bush, symbolic of God. He asked this question, who are you? In other words, if you're going to be sending me to the Pharaoh, I have to tell the Pharaoh who it is that is sending me. And God does respond, and he's going to give him this name. The name is Yahweh, which means I here it is for you. Yahweh, which means I am who am. That is the name that God will give to Moses, that he will communicate to the Pharaoh with the purpose of liberating the chosen people. From the slavery of Egypt after these many years. So this is, my friends, taken from Exodus chapter 3, one of the most important biblical passages, not only in the Old Testament, but in the whole Bible. And I'd like to draw a few conclusions from this biblical passage. First is the holy name of God. But we should always have this great reverence and respect for the holy name of God, which is actually the second commandment. Great respect for the holy name of God. Building upon this theme, the Jewish people had so much respect for the holy name of God that they could not even pronounce it. So holy was his name. Such that the Jewish people would allow the high priest to go into the temple of Jerusalem and just once a year, the high priest that represented God would be able to say or pronounce the holy name of God. Such was the reverence and respect that the Jewish people had for the name of God Himself. So may we recover, my friends, in our lives, this call to live out the second commandment. To have a great reverence, love, and respect for the holy name of God. If you like, you can go to Philippians 2. The name of Jesus is the holiest of all names. At the name of Jesus, St. Paul says, may every knee in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth bow down to the honor and glory of God. At the name of Jesus, may every knee in heaven and earth and beneath the earth bow down in honor of His holy name. How much respect we should have for the holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a liturgical note on this, in the holy importance of the holy name of Jesus. Maybe you've noticed that when the priest celebrates the greatest of all prayers, when the priest celebrates the greatest of all prayers, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, when the priest pronounces the name of Jesus, you probably notice that he bows his head. Also, when we mention the name of Mary, we bow our head. When we mention the name of the saint of the day or the patron saint of the parish, we bow our head. And even as a child, the nuns, those good religious nuns back 50, 60 years ago, says when we say the name of Jesus, we should bow our heads because it is a holy name. So we should honor and respect the name of Jesus and Mary and Saint Joseph and the angels and the saints. Because Mary is the mother of God, Saint Joseph is the foster father of Jesus. And the angels and the saints are God's friends, and hopefully our friends too. Okay, now talking about the vocation, Moses was given this vocation to free the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt. I'm going to talk briefly about the vocation of Moses, and what about our own vocation? And it's the following. There is a universal vocation for all of us. The universal vocation for all the followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is the universal call to holiness. What do we mean by that? Lumen Gentium, chapter 5, one of the dogmatic constitutions of the Second Vatican Council, is a chapter on what is called the universal call. That universal call from Vatican II is that all of us are called to become saints. The universal call to holiness. All of us are called to become saints. Jesus, in uncertain terms, unequivocally said, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. There we have the universal call to holiness. That all of us are called to become saints. Then there is the individual call. John Paul II wrote a document for you lay people at the beginning of his pontificate. And the name of the document of John Paul II is Christi Fideli Laici. Christi Fideli Laici, my friends, is the Latin for the faithful lay people to Christ, which he calls the lay people. That's all of you except myself. You, John Paul II said, you're called to be the salt of the, you're called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You're called to give light and to give flavor to the world. Christi Fideli Laici. You're called to evangelize the culture, evangelize the world by your holiness of life. I have another vocation. I am both a religious as well as a priest. So I have a double vocation, religious, following Christ in a radical way, trying to live out the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Trying to live out the charism of Father Bruno Lanteri as an oblate of the Virgin Mary. And at the same time trying to live out the priesthood. So it's a double vocation, religious vocation as well as the vocation to the priesthood. So let's spend some time today asking the Lord and His Blessed Mother for the grace to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And like Moses before the burning bush, let's pray for that grace to be courageous enough to follow our vocation. Let's pray that we be freed from the slavery of sin. That we would be freed from the slavery of sin, which is the worst moral evil, such that we'd experience what is called the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And once we're freed from the slavery of sin, we can fly and bring many others to Christ. Pray for our spiritual exercises program. This 6 week will be presenting to the people the call of the King. We're called not to be deaf to the call of the King. And I, for my part, I'll pray for all of you, that all of us would be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Right now, my friends, I have to go to give one of my two formations classes of the adults, the confirmation teenagers. So I'd like to invite all of you to share our message to the whole world. Share our message to the whole world. The harvest is rich and labors are few. You're called to be the workers in the vineyard, to cultivate that fig tree that it brings forth fruit and fruit in abundance. And I will give you all my priestly blessing. And let's pray mutually for each other. The Lord be with you. The intercession of Mary and Saint Joseph, may God bless you. Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many blessings upon all of you. And as the book of Nehemiah says, do not be sad today, but may rejoicing in the Lord be your strength. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Amen.